Okay, we are on our last Masilas Yesharim of the semester. We're at the end of Bivayor Mafsidei Hazihirut VeHarchakat Mehem, the factors detrimental to vigilance and how to avoid them, meaning the things that get in the way of being able to acquire vigilance. We discussed the first two things that get in the way yesterday, and those were this world, yeah, Olam Hazeh, getting lost in Olam Hazeh, and making sure to find time to engage in spiritual pursuits in Torah being the goal. And the second one we talked about at length was Litzanut and Schok and Kalut Rosh in a negative way that we talked about kind of acts as a shield or a deflector to move off any ability to actually hear the words of Musar and Zahirut, because when you left them off, then it's very easy to just keep going about your way. And we had a long philosophical conversation yesterday about that in general, in terms of how to relate to anything that comes our way as being a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking to us and relating to us on all levels, including in response to sins as onesh, but also just as a dialogue with us and helping us in our avodas Hashem. So we're on page 100 in your editions, to the third impediment to the acquisition of vigilance. Yes?
Yes.
Excellent. We haven't left files yet. Same group. Good. Okay. Here we go. V'amasid ha-shlishi hu ha-chevra. So the third one is having a bad chevra. Right? There's no good way to translate chevra. Right? Chevra is a chevra. Having a bad chevra gets in the way. Having a bad social group of friends, people who you live with, people who you live amongst. Chevrat ha-tipshim v'ha-chut'im. Of having a chevra of idiots and sinners. V'umasha katuv omer. This is what the pasuk says in Mishlei. V'ro'eh chisilim yiro'a. He who consorts with idiots will come to grief, will come to evil.
We see many times, afilu achar shekvar nitamet etzel ha'adam chovat ha'avodah v'zehirut ba,
that even after a person has come to a true understanding of an obligation of the avoda and the vigilance that he requires, he becomes lax with certain things or is over certain things, in order that one's chevra doesn't make fun of him, mock him, or in order just to become close to them and feel a part of them. A person's social influences are incredibly, incredibly strong. I remember in a certain high school I was associated with, it's not so clear whether high schools can necessarily dictate a person's religious practice outside of the halls of the school. But what was very interesting is when it became kind of a rampant issue, particularly amongst the sports teams, that a lot of the guys who were on, and the girls also, I think, but particularly the guys on the sports teams, were not eating in kosher restaurants outside of the walls of this Jewish day school. So they couldn't say that it's against the rules of the school, you know, like you would get you'd get suspended or you'd get whatever if you were seen eating at a non-kosher restaurant. What was the rule?
Wear the jersey outside.
You would get in trouble with the school, you could get suspended if you are seen eating with another student of the school in a non-kosher restaurant. Again, questionable whether or not you can even make such a rule anyway, or whether or not you should be more machmir and just say that if you're part of a Jewish day school that you simply can't eat around the day school at a non-kosher restaurant. Either way, it doesn't really matter. But the point is, like, that shows, like, that was a response to the fact that clearly there were parents who felt that their children would not have eaten in non-kosher restaurants except in order to feel part of the group, feel a part of the team. The only way to do that was to go and eat non-kosher restaurants with their friends. You had to just say with some of my examples, I'm trying to bring just strict practical examples that have happened to make sure that they're all 100% legitimate. So that's a clear case of somebody who wouldn't have done something and eating non-kosher. I mean, that's one of the three harag valyavors of modern Orthodox Judaism, right?
Rather, the parents are some of the people that help make the rules for the school.
Oh yeah, some of the people who help. That's not for the recorder, but perhaps the only people who make the rules for the school. But I'm saying, but that's, you know, there you see a situation, you know, modern Orthodoxy, Kasher, Shabbos, and then parentheses for some people, maybe not, hopefully all, Tarat Mishpacha. Those are kind of the big three of modern Orthodoxy. So Kasher is a big deal, and these were people who, even those minimal basic requirements of modern Orthodoxy were difficult to keep because of a person's chevra. Simple example. To the point where even the parents had to have the school respond because what are you supposed to do? Because the power of a negative chevra is incredibly strong. Accepted? Acceptable?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, and that applies obviously to all areas of Zihirut, but that's just one example of that's actually happens all the time. V'mashaya Shlomo alav Shalom. As here, this is what Shlomo warns. Im shonim al tit arav. Don't get involved with those people who are different, assumably different in a bad way. Right? We're not against individuality. We're against sinning. Ki im yomar lecha adam, if a person says to you, la'olam yehei da'ato shel adam me'orevet im habriot. For if someone says to you, a person's disposition towards people should always be congenial. Af ata amor lo bamet dvarim amurim bivnei adam shosim maase adam ach lo bivnei adam shemaasehem maase behima. Meaning, even if you say like this quote that a person's disposition toward people should always be congenial, that this only applies to people who act like people, but not to people who act like behemoths, not like people who act like animals, or meaning people who sin. Meaning, one shouldn't go out of one's way to go against one social group, to go against the grain, to cause strife, to cause in a community. However, that only applies when people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So there's no need to cause a stir by going against the social norms of a community if it's within the realm of halacha or relevant to halacha. But if the people in the community are going against halacha, then of course that the concept of not being a rabble rouser doesn't apply. It doesn't mean to be in their face, but you certainly should not be following them. Certainly should not be following what they're doing. So, I mean, that even applies to one's parents, right?
Don't go to yeshiva boys and some girls.
What do you mean?
Because then they're just going to go and yell at their parents.
No, it doesn't say to give mussar. I mean, it doesn't even say that here. But you don't have to follow them. But no, a person dafka needs to be carefully taught how to navigate their relationship with their parents when they come back from Israel. Kabeda tavi kaviatimecha. Excuse me. Et aviv. No, is it, what's the pasuk? No, it's the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim.
Is that it?
What?
Et aviv imoti
rav. It's not that. There's another word in there. I think the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim says. Ish imova aviv tirau. You there was some word. I know there was a word there somewhere. Ish imova aviv tirau vet shapto taiti shor ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right, that's the classic pasuk that's quoted. That you have to follow whatever your parents say, everything your parents say, except if they tell you to be machal Shabbos. Meaning, except if they tell you to go against any one of the mitzvot. Now, parentheses, one really needs to know. What's Mikra Hadin? What's a Derabanan? What's a Derarisa? What are the cools by a Derabanan? What's really a Chomer Ba'alma? What's not even a Chomer, but a Minach Hasidus? Meaning one needs to be very careful. When in my yeshiva, there's the famous story of the guy who went back to visit his... There's like a true story of a guy who went back for Pesach. And his grandfather wasn't Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and his grandfather went to pour wine at the Seder table, and he yelled Yayin Nesach. That was pretty much the end of that Seder. Meaning like a person needs to know like two things: what the halacha is, and two, how to deal with it sensitively. In that case, neither of those two things were done. Minim Mistama was not Yayin Nesach. There's no way it was non mevushal wine on the table, and that the grandfather would have qualified. And second of all, that's certainly not the way to go about handling a Seder table with a complicated situation. But meaning sensitively, but you don't follow them. You don't follow a chevra which is doing ra. Period. There's no, even if even your parents can't compel you to go against, meaning if keeping the mitzvah even overrides kibud av va'im, vade, it would override social norms. If you know it's a halacha. But again, same rules would apply. You have to know if it's a halacha, legitimately. And second of all, you need to know how to do it in a sensitive way. Right? That's ochef tochichat amitecha v'lo tisa alav chet, quoting more psukim from that part, right? Ochef tochichat amitecha, definitely give tochacha to your friend, except if by giving them tochacha, you're going to end up bringing sin upon yourself because you haven't accomplished anything, you made them angry, you started getting into lashon hara, rechilas, anger, fighting, arguments, those are all bad things also. So it all needs to be done sensitively. But the point is that a chevra needs to be avoided. Ushloma sir od. Shlomo also warned, right? Meaning if he's the smartest man on the face of the planet, so whoever lived, then he realized this was a big deal. Lech mineged leish ksil. Go against the person who's an idiot. Meaning this doesn't take the most wisest person on the face of the planet to get wisdom from. If somebody's doing something unintelligent, if somebody's doing something against halacha, it's probably a good idea to find somebody else to be friends with. Or somebody else have an influence on you, meaning not necessarily to cut off those people entirely from your life, but not let those people be your core chevra that's influencing you and taking you in a certain direction. But David HaMelech Amar, David, who also was a smart guy, said, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzat rasha'im. This is the very beginning of Tehillim. Yeah, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzat rasha'im. Praiseworthy is the person who doesn't go would take the advice of the evil people. Uvederech chata'im lo amad, and in the way of sinners he doesn't stand. Uvemoshav litzanim lo yashav, and he doesn't sit amongst the mockers. And there's a lot of discussion there, and on those psukim, why all three different lashonos, and how detrimental ones being anywhere near people who are involved in sins can really have an impact on a person. Ukvar pershu alav zichronan levrachas. Chazal have already said, im halach sofo laamod. V'imamad sofo leshev, right? Meaning if you're walking with them, you'll end up standing with them. And if you're standing with them, you'll end up sitting with them. Meaning that's the kind of progression that David HaMelech is even implying in the Pasuk. Meaning, going back to yesterday, one thing, it turns out, does lead to another. Yeah? And so the more one has contact with such people, then the more one becomes, it becomes a part of one's psyche, it becomes a part of one's social norm, it becomes a part of one's nature, and one needs to be very careful about the influences on one's nature. The Omer. Lo yashavti im mitei shav. V'im na'alamim lo e'avo. Saneti kahal mere'im v'im rasha'im lo e'shev. I have not sat with vain people, neither do I enter the company of rasha'im, of re'im. He, which he's translating as dissemblers. I need to perish for the perish. I detest the company of evil men, and I do not sit with the wicked. Again, all in the same vein. A person needs to purify and to cleanse oneself. And one needs to totally pull away from walking in the ways and walking with those people who are totally immersed in wasting their time and involved in the vanities of this world. And to bring his legs to have him walk to the courtyard of God. Into those dwelling places, meaning choose where you want to live carefully, choose who your friends are carefully, choose who your chevra is carefully, choose who your roommates are carefully. These are very, very, very sensitive things. Similarly, and this, I mean, it goes without saying, but as long as we're already here, and obviously this is a huge impact in terms of who one chooses to marry, right? When one's looking for qualities in a person that they're looking to marry, the most important things are midos, being attracted to the person, and also not necessarily that you have to have exactly the same hashkafa. That's very, very hard. But a person who doesn't have an appreciation for Torah and mitzvos or a dedication to Torah and mitzvos, and that's something which is of value to you, that can create a very, very difficult situation amongst spouses in the home and certainly causes trouble for the kids. I'm not saying that you know, again, it doesn't have to be that you need a checklist of all the mitzvos that you keep and see how many of the 613 he checks off before you go on a date with him. But to recognize that if you're planning to be dedicated to Torah and mitzvos in your life and in your home, without any specifics, you need somebody who's dedicated to Torah and mitzvos. Same thing, that's as intimate as it gets in terms of the influence in one's house and one's life. Humash David atzmo misayim veomer. This is what David himself says. Erchatz bin nikayon kapai va'asoviva et mizbachacha Hashem. I wash my hands in innocence and I encompass your altar, O Lord. Meaning staying close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu wherever one dwells. V'im ye'aralo limatze bechevrat mi shial ig alav. If a person finds oneself in the company of one who makes fun of him, lo yashit libo el halagahu. One should not pay attention to the mocking of this person. Adarabba yal ig al maligim alav v'yivazem. He should mock them and he should disparage them. Again, in theory, right? In practice, especially Bizman Azeh, where with so many tinoke shanishpa, so much anger about Judaism and so much disdain for Torah practicing Jews, don't take it to heart. Maybe argue, definitely don't yell back. But unless it's really the right situation, keep in mind. I think it used to be that the emphasis was In our generation, for sure, it's that's definitely how I would, you know, embellish the pasuk b'zman hazeh. It's a very, very dangerous and precarious Jewish world that we live in. Okay? I got a yet a nod. That was a good one. We're really on the same page. Good. Okay. V'yachashov b'da'ato ki lilulei hayalo leharviach mamon ha'aya maniach al tomipnei chavirav shlo yaligo, meaning if he had in his mind to recognize that if this were a situation where he could gain a tremendous amount of money, right? If people were mocking him as he scratched off, which one shouldn't do, one shouldn't buy, one should do anyway, but if one was scratching off a lotto card and people were mocking him for taking a coin and scratching a piece of paper and he was very, very close to getting... I don't know what you have to do to win these things. Like you get like three in a row of $250,000 and you win. Would you stop scratching because scratching the thing off the front because somebody was mocking you? No way. You're gonna throw it out because they're making fun of you? $250,000, even Bisman Azeh, is not worth throwing it away just in order that people should stop making fun of you. Of course you're going to keep going. Are they seeking to stop because people are mocking him? Even more so that one's throwing away one's soul. One's throwing away one's spirituality. One's throwing away an opportunity to do a mitzvah. That's not a good enough reason. He's here. This is what our sages warned. A person should be as brazen as a leopard to do the will of our Father in heaven, meaning that a person that needs to have brazenness, this is where brazenness is needed, to go and have confidence in doing Torah, to go and have confidence in doing mitzvot. It's that confidence even in the face of people trying to push one down and saying, no, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. That I think, Bezman Azeh, you're allowed, meaning is not an issue. Meaning if people respect individual choice. We live in a reality where the choice of the individual is prized above all else, regardless of whether it's right or wrong. That seems to be irrelevant. The only thing that matters is I believe in what I'm doing. As long as we're all doing what we all believe we should be doing, regardless of whether it has no resemblance to what anybody else is doing or what anybody expects of us, then it's fine. As long as I'm okay with it, right? As long as nobody's forcing me to do it. So you're not forcing it on anybody. You're saying, no, this is me. This is who I am, and this is what I'm doing, right? This is my thing. You want to make fun of me? Fine, but this is my thing. And to be able to go along with confidence in being your own independent person. V'David Amar, v'adraba, b'idotecha neged melachim lo evosh. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, I will speak of your testimonies before kings and I will not be ashamed. Meaning, I'm talking the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine, think of somebody, the parshiot that we're in. Right, Yosef HaTzadik gets drawn out of the pit. Right, okay, so they shave him, they wash him up, they give him some new clothing, they put him in front of the king. And without any embarrassments at all, king says, what's the deal with my dreams? Right? Yosef says, I don't know. Here's what God thinks. Can you imagine? We see a few, either the same paro a little bit later or a few paros later. Right? A paro who says, I don't recognize the God of the Jews. I don't know what you're talking about. I am God, says paro. I'm God, I'm king, and I'm God. And Yosef says, without any hesitation, I'm happy to, I can't translate your dreams, but I'm happy to give you what God tells me is the translation of your dream. And what does Paro do? He responds to it, recognizes God, and raises him up. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed Paro to raise up Yosef. But that comes with the confidence to be able to turn to anybody in this world and say, Kacha, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And that requires a certain brazenness. That's the Ozkan Amer. That's the brazenness that's required. And even though most kings, their whole asek and their whole discussions are in things relating to... most kings are preoccupied and speak of their grand exploits and delights. V'David shayah gam ken melech, and David, who was also a king, l'chorat yelo l'chorpa im biyoto b'chevratam yehu medaber b'divrei musar v'torah tachat sapro min hagdulot v'ham mit anugot b'nei ha'adam kemohu. Right, meaning we're talking about David HaMelech, who's amongst kings who are all basically vying to show who's the best king, right? Everybody wants to show pictures on their iPhone of their treasure troves, to mix centuries, right? To show pictures on their iPhone of their treasure troves. And what does he? He takes out his iPhone and shows pictures of his Beis HaMikdash. It was by David. So of his Mishkan, pictures of him dancing in front of his Aron, which even his wife made fun of him for. Meaning, what is David HaMelech prize? What is David HaMelech prize in this world? Before those people, he's talking about. He's talking about Divrei Musar. He's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's talking about Torah, not about the Tanugim of Olam Hazeh. He was not worried about this at all. His heart didn't turn at all to these vanities. He'd already reached and achieved truth. He went and said, He said to all of us to take that Musar. He says to us, I will speak your testimonies before kings and I will not be ashamed. And so to Yishayahu said, therefore I have set my face like a flint and I knew I shall not be ashamed. So with regard to this first madriga, what madriga are we talking about? Zihirut, right? We're now coming to the conclusion of Zihirut, finally. So in terms of Zihirut, in terms of complete and total avodas Hashem in this way, pure avodas Hashem in this way, this is enough to talk, this enough in terms of the basics of what I can tell you in terms of it. I've told you what it is, I've told you how to acquire it, I've told you how to be careful to guard yourself from it, I've told you its elements, all of the components of it, all of these things I've already defined for you. Let's talk about the next level, which is drawn from it, meaning again classic Ramchal, but also is basically explicitly implied in the Midrash. Everything builds one thing to the next. Torah, Zihirut. Come on.
Zrizut,
right? We've been waiting for that spear. It's okay, Ricky's not here. She'll be back next semester, right? We got to get our spear. We got to get going for our Zrizut. So says the Chacham, Kvar hit tani bidvarecha dvash vechalav. Your words have already given me the taste of honey and milk. In a way that I never could have imagined and never would have come to my heart. Meaning again, this is a chacham who spent all of his time in intellectual pursuits, and he's finally seeing how engaging midot work can be, how emotionally taxing, how mentally taxing in a way of mindfulness and heat bonenut, even on an intellectual level, but certainly on a spiritual level, on a lave level, on a level of bringing one to true excellence, that this is not true perfection, true service of God. This is not something which simply happens automatically, as we talked about all the way back at the beginning of the introduction. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not like eating, sleeping, and getting up, and this is something which requires a tremendous amount of thought and work in a way where even the Chacham is turning around and saying, I never imagined this would be such a sweet limud. It must be such a beautiful limud in and of itself. And so he says, and now at this point, I desire in a deep way that you should bring about more of this limud, as it says, as a heart pants after the water brooks. That he's here already in a place where he desperately wants to hear more and wants to seek and search after more and more and more. Which will bring us Bezrat Hashem next semester to Zrizut, to Perichet with Zrizut. So just in sum of kind of the whole semester as a whole, right? We met our Chacham, we met his resistance and thought that all of Judaism was Limud Torah. The answer is it is Limud Torah, but Limud Torah is a lot broader than that, and it's not just Maisa Mitzvot. And you see also here one of the beauties what a lot of people talk about in terms of the godless of the Ramchal does here. What's the difference between learning Masilas Yesharim and learning any other Sefer of Musar? It comes back to what we talked about way back in the first year about who the Ramchal was. Who was the Ramchal? The Ramchal was somebody who knew all of Torah Shebichtav, or all of Torah Shebaal Peh, all of Nigla, all of Nistar Baal Peh. And what the Ramchal here in Mesilas Yesharim is doing, what's so unique about Mesilas Yesharim in either edition, in both editions, meaning nothing changed when he wrote the second one, is not necessarily his capacity to yell Musar at you. It's A, his capacity, especially in this volume, to relate on a very human level to where we're at and respond to us, but also to take that great, the godless of the Ramchal that we talked about in terms of Le'olam Yud Divrei Toratecha Kalim V'Yadecha Kalim V'Lo Pratim, that his whole... What?
Not the middle board.
Definitely not the middle board, no. But that's why we left that leftmost board up the whole time, because it's kind of the theory that we've been going through this entire Midrasha with. And also, every Sefer of the Ramchal, for sure, he happens to talk about it explicitly in the introduction to Derech Hashem. But everything has to be kind of the big picture of what Judaism is about, and he was able to hold it, and then define it, and then categorize it. And what he's doing here, and the reason why he quotes so consistently throughout Mesilas Yesharim, he could have just brought one proof. is really what Mesilas Yesharim is the Ramchal taking his encyclopedic knowledge of all of Kol HaTorah Kula, his memorization and hitboninut of Kol HaTorah Kula, parsing out all of the sources in Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh on the Midah of Zihirut, and then building that up within that context. But that's what he's doing here. That's the goddess what he's doing. He's simply reflecting Chazal and Torah's opinion on Zihirut and organizing it carefully in a presentation that both recognizes the kind of logical progression of it, its elements, its acquisition, and its impediments, and also in this particular edition to recognize the kind of growth-oriented process that a dialogue brings about. So with that in mind, we'll continue on Bezrat Hashem with Zrizut in a couple of months. Shkoch, everybody.